Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I'm going to do something this morning that might take you out of your comfort zone. You might be comfortable with it, you might not be. But one thing that I'm going to ask, and I guess you kind of get permission to be on social media if you want to during the service this morning. There's going to be a slide up here, and it says hashtag no filter. And what I'm asking for you to do this morning is to take a picture of that screen. You can have me in the picture if you want. You have my permission to use this. And throughout this service, the sermon, or even throughout this week, what I'm asking you to do is to use this picture, your caption, with the hashtag of no filter, hashtag CPC, and then also hashtagging what it is that you are hearing God say to you. And we're going to talk more, if you're not familiar with hashtags and all that, we're going to learn a little bit more about that. But so that's the title of my sermon this morning is hashtag no filter. All right? The reason why I have that is because some of you are probably familiar that when an individual arrives at a certain age in their life, they begin to develop holes in their filter. Do you believe that? Have you started to develop holes in your filter? Do you just kind of let things come right out? What do I mean by that? That's when somebody just speaks right off the cuff without giving any regard for what's actually coming out of their mouth. Sometimes we use it as an excuse, and we'll look at somebody and we'll say, wow, that was really harsh. Well, just saying. You know, it's our excuse. Like anything, we can say it, and then as long as we do the just saying, it's almost like this forgiveness for being able to say whatever is on our minds, no matter how blunt, no matter how hurtful, or no matter how offensive it can even be. When I was serving as associate pastor at my previous church, God had called us to develop and start a 50-plus ministry, and this was serving that population. And one of the things that I learned in that ministry is that they just say it like it is. There was one day where I was out for a walk in the mall, and this one lady who had been waiting to be able to join this group, and I mean, yes, people call it a seniors group, and you're probably thinking, I'm 50, I am not a senior. It's just that's the group, that was the number that they had chosen to be the number. So anyway, there was one lady who was anxiously awaiting to be able to be a part of this group. And we were doing our mall walk one morning, and she was walking with me, and then all of a sudden it just came out. And I said, wow, Marie, you have officially arrived. And she says, what do you mean? I said, you turn 50, and right away, all of those holes are in that filter, and it just comes right out of you. Have you met other people? It's like, oh man, I wish that they sometimes had a filter. But it was interesting that as I spent more and more time with these individuals, it almost seemed like it was their personal mission that every time we're having coffee together, they wanted to see how many times they could make me blush. Or see how many times they could make me turn red with the things that they would say, because there are times where we're sitting there and I would stop and be like, did you really just say that? It's like, yeah, just saying. It's like, wow, okay. Last week we talked about the need to check on the batteries in our devices. Let's check the batteries. When the batteries start to die, things don't operate at full capacity. Sometimes when the batteries die, the filter isn't operating at full capacity. So for example, I shared with you that my wife wears hearing devices. And what happens with her is that when the batteries are starting to die, she gets a tone in her ear and she'll give me a heads up, my batteries are about to die. And we'll continue on in this conversation. And I was asking her, I said, what happened? She says, I just keep getting a tone, a beep. And then as they start to die even more, the tone gets closer and closer. So I'm thinking, wow, that's got to be really distracting when you're trying to have a conversation. And in your ear, you're hearing beep, beep. And then as you talk more and they're getting worse, it's beep, 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 beep. And until all of a sudden, the batteries just die. And she'll look at me and she'll say, my batteries just died. And I know not to continue to speak because she can't hear what I'm going to say or what I'm about to say is going to be distorted. And it takes her a little bit of time. You know, once she pops the battery out, it takes about a minute to get in there. There was one particular night, and I had her permission to share this story with you, is that the hearing devices were not working at full capacity. And Hallie had walked into our room. We were just getting ready to go to bed. And Hallie walks in and says, "Mom, I need you to make an appointment for me to get my hip checked." And Kyla stopped, and in a bit of a harsh tone, she says, "I am not buying you any more lip chap." Hallie and I stopped. We looked at each other. It's like, what? And then we had waited for the hearing devices to go back in, and we told her what we had said. So we had a good chuckle. I had her permission to do this. So just as a little bit of fun, sometimes what we see and what we hear is not necessarily the same thing. So what I want to do is I want to try a little bit of an experiment here. So if you are here with your significant other, whether that's your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whoever, okay, I want you, what I'm going to ask is for the wife or the female in the relationship, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to put your head down and cover up your ears, okay? Can you all do that? Those of you that are participating. So put your head down, close your eyes. Now look up here. Esther, I said, plug your ears. I said, I did that as a test. I wanted to see if you were listening to what I was going to be saying. Okay, so ladies, heads down, ears plugged. Make sure you can't hear what I'm saying. I knew somebody would be, like, listening. Okay, so men, what I want you to do is when I give you the instructions, I want you to look at your wife, and I want you to say the two words, olive juice, to her. Okay, just those two words. All right? Okay, now tap your wife on the shoulder. Wake her up. All right. So ladies, you can unplug your ears. Open your ears. Yeah. Okay, now you can hear me? Okay, so ladies, what's going to happen is your spouse is going to look at you, and they're going to say something to you. Okay? It's really sweet. So I want you, they're going to look at you. Now, men, go ahead and say it to your partner. Oh, sorry, you're supposed to say it quiet. Shoot. That did not work. What an epic fail. Hashtag fail. Right there. Oh, man. Okay, now try doing it and see what you hear. Just try it again, but say it silently. That's the part I forgot. What did it look like they were saying to you? I love you. Isn't that sweet? But the two words that they were actually saying to you were olive juice. But it looks like they're saying, I love you. So sometimes what we see and what we hear is completely different. Except when you do it the right way. So now you can just put up epic hashtag, or hashtag epic pastor fail. I recently joined the Instagram world. I had gone a lot of years and resisted that whole temptation. And so I'm having to learn about all of these different hashtags. And I've been going around my house this week and talking with my girls. Anything that happens, I kind of do that whole hashtag, right? So that means the number sign if you're not familiar with that. So as I was doing some research on this, I was wondering, what are the most popular hashtags that are out there? So I wanted to find out, what are the popular ones in the church? And it came back, the number one in churches was hashtag church. The second was hashtag Jesus, which is good. And then as I read down, I noticed that further down was hashtag architecture. And I thought, that's a really interesting one. And then below that was hashtag faith, hashtag worship. And I thought, wow, architecture beat out faith and worship in the church circles? Interesting. Now, the number one hashtag in the world right now in any category is hashtag love. The second one being hashtag Instagood, which I have no idea what that means. I'm not that versed in Instagram. And then the third one being hashtag photo of the day. So this morning, we're going to be looking at hashtag no filter. So what does this mean? You know, when you see a picture and somebody has that hashtag no filter, what that means is they've taken a picture, they haven't modified anything about it, it is literally in the raw. This is an amazing picture that they have taken. So during the course of this series, I believe that you have been hearing God speak some things into your heart. Now, the question that I want you to keep in mind is, have you had a device or something over your ears that has been filtering what it is that you are hearing? Are the batteries in your devices working at maximum capacity. Is there any sort of a contemplation surrounding the word that God has spoken, which you ask, really, God? Really? Is that what you're asking me to do? Do we ever have those moments where you think, oh man, God, of all of the words that you download into my heart, that's not the one that I wanted. But my hope is that through this series, we've had this realization that God has unveiled that he is always speaking to us. God is very active. So should there still be doubts or questions surrounding hearing God's voice, my hope is that you'll continue to explore this and check it out and listen to what God is saying. So over the course of these next few moments, we're going to be continuing on in this series, and I want you to consider and ask, is there a hindrance in me, in my life, in my heart, that is preventing me from hearing God speak? Do I have a filter over my ears in which I can't hear? Or maybe what I'm hearing is completely different. So one of these, it could be a hindrance, it could be a block, it could be a filter. There's going to be five different items that we're going to be looking at throughout this that will help us to understand and identify, do I have a block? Do I have a hindrance? Is there something filtering what God is saying to me? We live in a very congested world. Congestion is all around us. I mean, here in the valley, think about the 17th Street Bridge on a Friday afternoon at 4:30. You want congestion, right? Says the guy who just moved here from Calgary. Somebody said to me, you've already arrived when you say all the way over there, right? When I get to that bridge and I have to wait now two lights, and I haven't even lived here a year, it's like, oh my gosh, I need to get through this light. So I'm learning how to really time things based on that bridge. First world problems, I know. So what is it that we do? So often in our lives, we make compromises. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to be reading from this morning. It's going to be on the screen here for you. It says 1 Timothy, but it's actually 2 Timothy. And it starts off by saying this: I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge. Now hit pause there, because I really appreciated this reminder. It's God who will be the judge, not me. Man, does that ever take a lot of pressure off us, doesn't it? We don't have to go around judging other people. God is the one who's going to judge. And who is it that he's going to judge? He's going to judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Here is what it is that we're being charged to do. He says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Remember how I said last week, so often we give advice to people, and they come back and we ask them how things went, and they don't listen to the advice that we had given to them. But that doesn't mean that we give up on them. I'm thankful, you're probably thankful, that the person that spoke into your life did not give up on you. Paul continues on and he says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Paul was reminding Timothy here that the time is coming. And as we can see, we're actually living in that time right now, and it continuously gets worse. When individuals simply don't like what is being taught. And when they don't like it, what do? They go and find somebody that will tell them what it is that they want to hear. When we don't like someone, we jump on this bandwagon of becoming their worst critic or their worst nightmare. You know, I'm hearing it more and more that if something doesn't go the way that a person wants, the threat is, do you want me to get on social media and blast you to everybody that I know? I've got like 2,000 friends. I can have your business destroyed. That's the attitude sometimes that people take on. They'll figure out, how many hashtags can I come up with to speak against this business? But Paul teaches, he says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. So in everything that we're doing, we are to have the mind of Christ. It's important to realize that not every day is going to be sunshine and lollipops. Fulfill the call of God on your life. And that is, for all of us, it's to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Paul is realizing that his time is coming to an end. He's pretty much on his deathbed. But when I look around this room, I don't see anybody that's on their deathbed. I wrote down, I was watching Daniela's video, there was a guy there who had a t-shirt on, and he says, aspire to inspire before you expire. I like that. I really like that. It was interesting when I worked in the funeral home. I remember the first time that this happened, and then it just became the norm. I had a young man call me up, and he says, Chad, this is so-and-so. I'm just calling to let you know that my father has expired. It was a really interesting term. He had expired. His expiration date on this earth had come to an end. He didn't get an extra 7 days, you know, like what we see on cartons. But aspire to inspire before you expire. And then he goes on and he says, and now the prize awaits, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Are you thankful this morning that Christ came to this earth? Are you? Are there any distractions that are preventing you from fully experiencing and hearing what God has been speaking to you? I've put out two questions, and you can hashtag them if you like. Hashtag, what is God saying to you? Hashtag, what are you going to do about it? So, as you can see right over here, some of you, this has probably been driving you nuts all service. Seeing all of this clutter, it's like, I just want to go and fix that. I can't handle that. Well, before I get there, just so you know, on July 7th, we're going to be honoring all of our graduates. We were hoping to have done it today, but this was actually a popular grad weekend for some of the grads that we're going to be honoring. So we've moved it. We're going to be doing it on July 7th. Now, on the other side of this door is a young man named Joshua Hooker, who just graduated this past weekend. He's getting ready to embark on the next chapter of the journey that God has him on. And he might be still asking those questions, and God, where is it that you're leading me? God, what is it that you want me to do? And like all of us, we are all on a journey. God has called each and every one of us. He has a specific task that he wants us to do. God has a will for our lives. The question is, what does that look like? So Joshua, are you able to hear my voice? All right. So we are able to hear God's voice, but there might be other sounds that are going on, distractions that prevent us from hearing God clearly, or there might be obstacles in our way. So what's going to happen now is Joshua is going to start to slowly make his way out of this room. And this is serving as an illustration for us. He's still able to hear my voice, but perhaps unable to fully be involved in what it is that is happening out here because he's got these obstacles. He's got these distractions that are in his way. And this is sometimes what our life can be like. We hear what God is saying to us. We know that he is speaking. You can start making your way out. We want to be able to see your face. We know that God is speaking. But there are blocks, hindrances, voices, things in our path that prevent us from being able to fully enjoy what God is speaking to us. So, what is a block that might be in your life? How is a block defined? A block is anything that gets between us and God and prevents us from being able to hear Him. What is that block for you? That is a question that only you are able to answer. In order for us to receive, we must believe. In order for us to receive what God is saying to us, we must believe. In Matthew chapter 13, we read how the people in Nazareth rejected Jesus. Verse 57 explains, and it says, that a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. Now let's listen to the outcome of what they robbed themselves of because of their own unbelief. In verse 57, it says, "And so he did only a few miracles there in Nazareth." Why? Because of their unbelief. He only did a few miracles in that hometown because they chose not to believe in him. They chose to reject him. Is your block that you're a logical person? You're trying to understand God logically. Well, what is faith? Faith is believing without seeing. Just pull it in. Yeah. See, he's got obstacles in his way. He's able to hear, but these things just keep preventing him from being able to come back in and be a part of us. What block, what obstacle is in your way that you can hear God's voice, but it keeps holding you back? Faith is believing without seeing. Faith requires us to believe without seeing it. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." You can move that back over. I know it's making your parents very uncomfortable that they don't have their pew in front of them. Nicely done. Thank you, Joshua. Here you go. I'll give you two. You can share with your twin since it is her graduation as well. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You can't see your own salvation, but you believe that you have been saved, correct? You believe that? Perfect. Good. When our focus is on being way too logical, we actually miss out on the deeper things that God is trying to show us. Sometimes the block is that we spend too much time focusing on the negative and what is wrong with ourselves. I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about the amazing valley that we live in. How beautiful it is here. Right? This past, on Friday, I did a hike up to Cruikshank Canyon, and I stopped at this one particular place. It was called Lake Beautiful, and it was absolutely beautiful, and I thought, wow, that's a really creative name. But when I got out to the edge and I stood and looked out, I thought, you know, probably when it was named, it's probably Lake Beautiful. There it goes. There's the name. Lake Beautiful. Usually it's like the first adjective, but it is absolutely amazing. But picturing our valley, so you have that picture, right? Okay, so now keeping that in mind, why do you think that God stopped creating beautiful things when he created you? The way that we tend to speak about ourselves, the negativity that we speak over our lives, it's like, why do we think that, you know, this the God that created all of this universe, created every individual, he did not stop creating beautiful things when he created you. You are beautiful. God has created you. Do you believe that this morning? Because sometimes it's so easy to focus on the negative. We have all been created in the image of God. This past week, I was engaged in a conversation with my Spoffy friends. You've heard me talk about them. And there was something that happened at a restaurant in Airdrie. And, you know, through the conversation, they were talking about the different things and the measures that this restaurant had to take in order to correct these people. And so, I mean, to fix what happened. And it's very easy to get on and start slamming the restaurant, and they should have done this, and the people should have done this, and it's very easy to focus on the negative. And then all of a sudden, two of the ladies that are in our group, they just chimed in. And they just started to look at things differently. They put a different filter on and looked at things differently. And finally, I chimed in, and I commended them. And I said, you know what? Mistakes happen. Judgments are impaired. Sometimes hands don't get washed. I then shared with them, I said, I am grateful that my past failures are in the past. God is able to take our broken past and make something beautiful come forth. And as I shared with them, and sometimes I have to get a little bit creative because they're not believers, and I don't want to come across as being too preachy. So then I took a different slant, and I said, you know what? If it weren't for our poor eating habits, we would not have needed to join this spin class. Had we not joined the spin class, we would never have met. So finally, I just says, here's to Lay's potato chips and Hawkins cheesies, which brought us all together, right? So sometimes you just got to look at the positive of why it is and what it is that brought you together. It's so easy just to focus on the negative. In our world of people, I know people are starting to get hungry. I'm looking at those and my mouth is starting to salivate. But in our world of people trying to steal identity, it's equally important that we don't allow people or others to rob us of our spiritual identity. There is an epidemic of spiritual identity theft that is going on all around this world, and that's what the enemy is going after. It is on the rise. And Paul said to Timothy, and we just read, he says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will look for teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after the myths. I believe, and this is my personal belief, is that at the root of a questioned gender identity is an individual who has allowed themselves to be robbed of their spiritual identity. They have allowed themselves to be robbed of who God has called them to be. So when they're wrestling with their gender identity, let's go deeper into the root. They've allowed themselves to be robbed of their spiritual identity. Do we know who we are in Christ? Ephesians 1:17 says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Hashtag voices. What voices are going on inside of your head? There are so many people who are fighting for your attention. How often does somebody stop you and say, can I have a second? You know that it's more than a second. Sometimes I want to say, okay, there it is. Second is up. When I'm sitting in my office and I can be deep in thought and I can see Pastor Trevor will walk by and I'm looking down and I can see out of my peripheral that he's right there in front of me, and I just kind of go, not right now. I don't even say anything. I just flag him on because I'm right in the middle of a thought and I need to complete that thought, because once him and I start talking, we're good for, usually it ends up over at McDonald's grabbing a coffee, and by the time we get done, we're finished our conversation. That's usually how it works. Our conversations are never quick. But who is it that's continuously getting your attention? The enemy will do everything he can to distract you. Our phones become like a voice. Last week in our office, I mean, for me, I try and keep my phone always on vibrate because the sounds drive me nuts. And last week, I was in my office and I was studying, and I kept hearing this ding, ding, ding. It's like, oh man. So it's like, who has their phone on right now? So what I did, I'm listening. I could hear which direction it was coming from. So I thought, I'm going to put this to a test. Hey, ding, Is that your phone? Ding. Finally, can you please turn off the sound? It was Pastor Trevor. He was engaged in like multiple conversations, and I was hearing ding, ding. So I just had to kind of silence all of those sounds so that I could not be distracted and be able to continue to focus. But many of us have been conditioned to respond to sounds. How often when you're in a meeting or somewhere and your phone goes off, are you like, who is it? Who is it? We just got to check that message, right? Nobody? Nobody's like that at all, right? Julia openly admits it. But in the early 1900s, there was a man some of you might be familiar with named Ivan Pavlov, and he put this to a test. He knew that the brain could be conditioned, and he took his dog, and what he did was he trained the dog because he knew that at the seeing or smelling meat, the dog would instantly salivate. So what he did was he would ring a bell, and then he would show the meat to the dog, and the dog would instantly salivate. And he had trained the dog at one point, or he trained it so well that at the sound of the doorbell or the bell ringing, the dog would instantly salivate, even if there was no meat. And how many of us become so conditioned to the sounds in our ears that when we hear something, we just immediately begin to salivate? See, I see Hawkins cheesies, and my mouth just bursts with salivation. But what sounds have we naturally been conditioned to? I read this, and I wouldn't encourage this, but I want to try it myself. I heard this, that if you want to kind of drive your neighbors nuts, is to do a recording of the ice cream truck song. And then drive up and down the street with your windows down and the music blasting and look in your rearview mirror and see how many kids and parents start running out to the street. Funny but wrong, but man, if you hear me coming down the street, you're going to get a good chuckle. But Exodus 24:16 says, "And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud." He was able to hear God's voice. Numbers 7:89, whenever Moses went into the tabernacle to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim above the ark's cover, the place of atonement that rests on the ark of the covenant. The Lord spoke to him there. Are we able to hear the voice of God? What has God been saying to you? What are you going to do about it? Looking back again over this passage, what has God been asking you to share? He says, preach the word of God. Have we allowed a block to go up? The filter in which we hear God, what does it look like? Is it clogged? Is it distorted? Is it full of holes? Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Remember that somebody took the time to speak into your life. And if God places somebody in your path, ensure that they're not a distraction and ask, God, what are you asking me to speak into this person's life? And remember to be careful of your filter as you patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. They're not going to get it immediately. Sometimes we have to spend more time with them. Sometimes it involves us walking on the journey with them. Discipleship is all about a journey. So I mentioned that there's 5 items that we're going to be looking at that possibly will serve as a block or as a hindrance to what it is that God is saying to us. But that is part 2 of No Filter next week. Father, we thank you for what you have been speaking to us even this morning. Many of us here have blocks. We have certain things that serve as our, we get scared. When we see it happen, it's like this fear comes up with inside of us. Father, I pray that you would help us to identify and know the blocks, the hindrances that prevent us from being able to hear your voice. without a filter, to hear the rawness of your voice speaking into our ears and into our heart. And as Paul prayed in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of our heart would be open to hear from you, that we would know your voice, that we would listen to your voice, that as the question has been put forth, God, what is it that you're saying, and what am I going to do about it? Father, I pray that that would be our challenge for this coming week, to listen to your voice without a filter, and then as we resume this next week, we will be able to understand and know and recognize the things that we have allowed to become a distraction in our lives. Continue to speak to us, and now as we go our separate ways, I pray that you would continue to watch over us, bless us, and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week for part two of this sermon.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.